interest to anybody.
Sure, we have.
They're personal matters. Yeah, okay.
I wanted to know.
Yeah, go right ahead.
And Sheila Levine, she lives
She's
where?
She's a school teacher, and she lives in Arlington, Virginia.
In where?
Arlington.
Arlington. Oh, yeah. Virginia.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Outside of Washington. Right.
Let's move on to...
What about, how about in terms of raising your children? Did you raise them? Do you have any, did you have any Jewish customs that you used? Would you say you were Orthodox, Reformed, conservative?
Orthodox. They all went to the Beit Shalom Synagogue. I have their graduation to prove that.
So they went to Beit Shalom.
Yeah, Beit Shalom.
Were you active in the synagogue?
No, my wife was. She was president of the sisterhood of the Charité Synagogue.
Mm-hmm.
And very active up there.
So you belong to two synagogues?
Who?
You belong to the Beit Shalom and the Charité?
No, the Beit Shalom and the...
And
another one, the boy, the older, the kid, they went to the Hebrew school.
Hillel?
Not the Hillel, the Polytechnic Synagogue. Okay. They had a Hebrew school there, too.
Uh-huh.
And the Beit Shalom had a Hebrew school for the younger, for the other children.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know what they're not rabbis or anything, but they wouldn't marry Gentiles under no circumstances. Myron's divorced. He came home and he found a man in bed with his wife.
Mm-hmm.
And she married the man, a doctor. And he's a very good looking guy. He looks like an actor, but
that one.
Yeah, there.
How would you describe your raising your children? Did you describe, you know, what type of household did you have?
I had a...
Was it more observant? Was it less
observant? No, it wasn't too observant.
Mm-hmm.
It was a good Jewish home.
Mm-hmm.
We used to have 20 or 25 people for a Seder, Passover night. But I was not a synagogue member. My religious beliefs are a little bit off. I go more to the Reform synagogue.
Uh-huh. Were there any special family customs that you had?
Well, we had all the Jewish customs every holiday. My wife is the one that kept it up more than I did.
Uh-huh. She was at home during all your married life?
Yes,
she worked.
She was home.
So she raised the children.
She raised the children, and she made sure that they get an education.
Mm-hmm.
And all I did is go out and earn a living. And I says, "Kate, I'll bring the money. You do the work." Anytime she complained it's too hard, I says, "Hire somebody."
Mm-hmm.
And I wasn't bad at making money. Besides having a regular job, I used to make money on the side. I sold properties, and I sold. I did other things, side jobs, extra jobs.
Uh-huh. What other kinds of things did you do?
Well, I worked for collection agencies, collecting accounts. I worked for attorneys serving subpoenas. And if you don't tell nobody, I made $125 this week.
Mm-hmm.
I got $75 from Kenneth Barron. He's an attorney. He's in the Grant Building.
Mm-hmm.
They asked me to locate a certain member named Pandula.
Mm-hmm.
And his own help couldn't find that guy. They needed that man. Well, when it comes to tracing people, I think I'm the best at Pittsburgh. And it didn't take me more than 2 days to find it. So.
Like a detective.
I can trace them without leaving the house. Because I know all the books and all the telephone books and all the... in every town. I found him in jail, by the way, this Pandula, in Indiana County.
Mm-hmm.
And they wouldn't let him out on bail.
Mm-hmm.
So I got $50 for that, you see.
Have you done this a lot, this kind of detective kind of work?
I've been doing it for a long time.
How'd you get interested in that?
I got interested in that because I needed money, and it came to me, a penny half came to me. It came to me because
he told
only after the Suntory closed up, you see.
That's right.
That last summer.
Mm-hmm.
You see, the last time, you see, I'm not lying to you. I can't recall. That's why I wanted to rehearse.
Well, you told us that.
Yeah. When the Sound Valley closed up in 1961, I went around crying like a baby, and I got the job with a collection company, and they made a manager out of me and made a big man out of me. And then through that collection, I got acquainted with the attorneys, and the attorneys started giving me work, and that's how I got. There used to be a Jewish attorney, gave me a lot of work, and he died. A very short word, I forgot. Agnes? Anyhow, that's getting into branching. You want to continue with something?
Sure. Well, one other thing I want to know is about your social life when you were married, your family vacations that you took, hobbies that you had, things like that.
Well, I was transferred to Pittsburgh, so I had no relatives in Pittsburgh, but my wife had quite a family. She was one of seven or eight children.
Mm-hmm.
And through her and her friends were my friends. When she played the bridge with the women or whatever it was, I used to take them home.
Mm-hmm.
And we used to go to visit them.
Mm-hmm.
My work was mostly not in Pittsburgh, but outside of Pittsburgh. So I didn't get acquainted with too many Jewish people here.
Mm-hmm.
But everybody knew me somehow or other. And then I started, when I quit the Sound Valley, I started writing letters to the editor.
Mm-hmm.
Not one or two, but I flooded them.
Mm-hmm.
The Post Gazette and the Press and the Chronicle and the Wall Street Journal and the Miami Herald. I showed it to you.
That was your hobby, it sounded like.
That's the hobby, and it is today, too.
Uh-huh.
I just want to show you. See, all the. Well, I have dozens of, hundreds of. Here's my brother's name in a crossword puzzle.
Oh, my goodness, and a crossword puzzle we're looking at.
That's
his brother for 11 down, and what's the question? 11 down. Oh, Irving R. for Isaac Dunn, and 11 down would be Levine.
Yeah.
Irving R. Levine for Isaac Dunn Levine. That's
here's the thing that in all my life for the 91 years, this was my biggest accomplishment. This one.
We have a letter here from your brother.
I send this letter to every congressman, every senator, to the President of the United States, to the President of the AFL and everything else, and everybody wrote in.
President Carter at the time.
He died of a stroke, too.
This letter I'm looking at is from 1979.
What's the name, Carter?
My name is not Billy Carter, but Ezra Levine. And Jimmy Carter was the president?
Yeah. Billy Carter.
Do you want me to read this?
Sure.
Yeah.
My brother, Isaac Don Levine, is not the president of the United States, but was formerly a household name as a nationally famous foreign correspondent, syndicated columnist, author of books, lecturer, and expert on communist Russian affairs. I do not always agree with his political analysis, but he is my brother and I love him. On February 1st, 1979, he will be 87 years of age. What makes his birthday important is that instead of fighting the dangers of communism, he is now battling to overcome a serious stroke. He would be greatly helped by spiritual support from colleagues and public who know and respect him. Won't you please be kind? Send him a birthday card or a few encouraging words. It will warm his heart, I'm sure. The pleasure of being remembered will help him to recover and celebrate many more birthdays together with his devoted wife, Ruth.
Hmm.
So did they send it?
This was printed in the Chronicle and this was printed in Canadian papers, in Florida papers, and
they responded.
They sent me carbon copies.
Uh-huh.
I have a letter here from President Reagan. Reagan, is it? Yeah.
Yeah,
that he sent to my brother. Of course. Anyhow, I don't want to get into that because it's too much
of
that.
Let me find out one other question.
Was this all for a while?
No, this is good.
This is fine.
We just let it run. It doesn't matter.
Can you tell me about the neighborhoods of Pittsburgh? Tell me what neighborhoods you lived in.
Well,
when you first got married.
That's right. When I first came to Pittsburgh, I parked my car on Fifth Avenue. And I saw a Jewish tailor shop, and I went in, and I says, I just drove in. Took 2 days to come from New York.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't have the turnpike, and it was winter time. And I says, I just drove in from New York, and I want to know where I can get a furnished room. It was a Jewish tailor up there in the 1400 block. So he says, there's a butcher here, Victor Silverman. Victor Silverman. He's around the corner, and he lives in Dinwiddie Street. You go over and see him, and he's got a room. And so I went over, and they took me up to 204 Dinwiddie Street. And he had a son over there named Dr. V. Cohen lived. There were two rooms on the third floor, slanting ceiling too. And so the doctor lived in the one room, and I in the other room. And that was Dinwiddie Street was considered the nicest Jewish street in the city of Pittsburgh for
now
the Jewish people. Dinwiddie.
Where is that?
They
street?
Were all a bunch of people were there, nothing but doctors and lawyers and rabbis and chazonim from Caldwell Street up to.
Now, is that in the Hill District?
You know where Dinwiddie is?
No.
You don't know? Dinwiddie?
Is it
where the Fifth Avenue High School?
Yeah, so up there, so it's right up near
right
the
opposite
hill.
The entrance.
Or Soho,
they
call it, south
of. Well, Soho is further
in. Okay.
So that's where you live. And
then that was a high class street at that time.
Mm-hmm.
The homes were all stone houses. Old like today, and all that, and it's from there that I went down to eat to McGee Street, and where I met my wife.
Where did you live after you got married?
And after we got married, we lived with her mother in her mother's house. But then the sheriff came and took the house away.
Oh my God!
Why was that?
Because her father was a huckster, and he lost his horse died or something, and he lost a wagon. And they took the house away, and when I heard they took the house away, I went around with a hammer and I broke every window. I was mad as hell. But they went and they rented a place in Stratford Avenue, the East End, which is considered the going from Neil Bed to something better. 314, by the way, Stratford Avenue. And I lived with them too, because they had a big house, you see. But when I met Kate, she took me to Stratford Avenue.
Uh-huh.
And when I got married, we didn't go on a honeymoon because we had been married before 3 months. We went up to Whiteman Street.
Oh, you got an apartment on Whiteman Street?
On Whiteman.
In Squirrel Hill.
I look at the windows every day when I pass by. That's where my... So you're going to have a baby?
Mm-hmm.
The woman that runs these two buildings had a baby, a premature baby. Only lived 12 days. Yeah, Rena Becker, her name is. She hasn't been back to work. I'm not telling you nothing bad. It's just happened. And, yeah. But she was up in years. She's maybe 37.
She's ready
baby.
In a week.
Well, I'm due. Any
so
day.
If it comes any day, she'd be happy.
She had it be 8 months.
Oh. Yeah.
8 months is dangerous. Well, I don't know, weighed 5 pounds as a boy. And he lived 12 days, and I don't know what happened.
So you lived on Whiteman?
I lived on Whiteman. By the way, my mother-in-law lived on Whiteman Street, too. But I went across in the apartment building next, I think it's next door or somewhere, the Ivanovitzer synagogue is.
Mm-hmm. And then after, did you stay on Whiteman, or is that where you
lived? Oh, wait a minute, I lived in Amber Street, that's right, too.
Amberson or
Amber? Amber, A-M-B-E-R. That's in East Liberty.
Mm-hmm.
And from Amber Street, the children began to ask me about little Lord Jesus, about, you know, they were going to school, and there were no Jewish kids.
Mm-hmm.
So I says to my wife, let's move to Squirrel Hill, because these kids, you know, they were going to school, and Little Lord Jesus was the main song, I don't remember where.
Why did you move to East Liberty? As for close Jude, to Squirrel Hill?
At that time?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, she probably found a place, 213 Amber, something on the front. And so we moved to Squirrel Hill. And
that's where you stayed?
Yeah. As a matter of fact, there was another place we lived to, Hastings Street.
Did you run into any anti-Semitism when you lived in East Liberty?
No.
None?
No, but I did run into it when I was came to this country, and I started to sell papers in Boston.
Mm-hmm.
And I was only, what was I, maybe 13 or 14 years old.
Mm-hmm.
In Boston, there's Irish, you know, in those days the Irish were really powerful. And a little red-headed boy came over to me and says, you Jew or something? I said, yeah. You killed Jesus Christ. He slapped me right in my chin.
Mm-hmm.
Fellow about my age. Slapped me right in my face. He says, I killed Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
So you see what the, I don't know. But that makes an impression.
Oh, absolutely.
See, that's, all these things constitute the personality of a person.
Right.
Become an adult. And then when you become that way, you don't change anymore, just like this.
Hard to change. Tell me something, what were you doing during World War One? I'm looking at my list here, and...
during World War One?
Yeah.
During, I have a card they told me to carry. I registered for the draft, you see,
mm-hmm.
from World War One. I showed it to you last mm-hmm. time. And I was too young for the war.
Uh-huh.
See, they... In 1918, the war started in 1914.
Right.
And I was selling papers by the million, I became rich. And anyhow, 1918, everybody from 18 to 36 had to register for the draft.
Mm-hmm.
So I registered in 1918, and in November the war was over, and it was the first Armistice Day. So they didn't call me ever since then.
And what about the depression? Where
the depression, I had no depression. I worked for newspapers. I worked for a Hearst company.
Uh-huh.
And
they did well during then?
Huh?
Did they do well during that time?
Yeah, let me see if I told you the truth or I'm lying to you. I worked for the Hearst papers for the New York American. Yeah, and they called, no, I didn't lie to you. They called me in. They told me the general manager of all the Hearst papers wants to see me. And they told me that there's an opening in Pittsburgh. They're combining the papers. There's 7 or 8 papers here. They're going to combine it. And they want me to give them a hand. I built up a pretty good reputation, I think. What was it? What year was it? In the 30s.
Mm-hmm.
I was no youngster. And I was also living in a furnished room, so I went and I got my shirts and my underwear. And they put me on the train.
Were you involved with the Prohibition at all? I'm just going through dates in history to see if there was something that...
No, I wasn't involved in any knew about prohibition.
Yeah.
I knew that some people have what they call it, the black market, not the black market. They used to import, I don't know. I knew what's going on, but I had nothing to do with prohibition at all.
What about the World War II? Where were you during World War II? You were in Pittsburgh then.
What was the years?
World War II?
I worked for the paper.
Like 1939, 19, in the
40s? I worked for the paper. I worked for the Sun.
42.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, right through. Right through until 1961.
Do you remember anything about the times during World War II?
Well, if you remember any highlights, I'd remember it. I remember the Lindbergh case really well. I remember it.
Or when, afterwards, when the people started coming.
I remember the Sacco Manzetti case going back.
Uh-huh.
That's another place where he was crying like a baby in a church in New York, because while they were getting the electric chair, they were conducting a service for Sacco Manzetti. And I remember any big thing. I didn't mark it down. I meant to get all this together, you see. See, this is... Oh, here's Sheila Levine, you see. Graduated from what school?
Congregation Beth Shalom.
Like I told you, you see.
You kept wonderful, wonderful...
I have it.
And records.
When the people started coming, the survivors started coming after World War II, I assume people came to Pittsburgh at that point.
Who?
The survivors, a lot of the Jewish survivors after World War II, the Holocaust survivors. Were you involved in any organizations that were helping?
No, you see, there it is, you see. That's why I didn't want to waste your time. I never was a member anywhere, and I never was active in anything, but I spent most of my life as an observer.
Mm-hmm.
I like that title. I wanted to see. I wanted to hear and see.
Mm-hmm.
Hear what's going on and see what's going on.
And you documented it.
I got every little thing. Here's my brother, my son.
Mm-hmm.
He won $20,000 in a show in Michael Levine, you see.
Mm-hmm. Spirit of their dad's success.
Yeah,
game show. Is this the game show plunge ends in a
yeah,
chaos?
Yeah, that show is
Michael Levine's son, Brian, 10, and David, 13, catch the
David.
Spirit of their dad's success. So those are your grandchildren,
yeah.
Is that it?
Yeah, but he made Michael get over $20,000.
What game show was that?
Scrabble. Scrabble? No, I don't know.
Here it says. Scrabble, NBC offering called Scrabble.
Yeah.
This is a 1971 show. There's a bar mitzvah of your son Harvey in 1952.
The children, yeah. She won $2,500 for poetry last Thursday.
Is that a grandchild? Do you have Melissa?
Yeah. Melissa. Yeah. That's my son, the doctor.
Kindergarten. My, you saved everything.
Oh, my school.
I don't think my parents saved my kindergarten diploma.
This is my son's composition. He took it from me. I was buying old cars, selling them, and he's a classified junkie. Very interesting reading.
The writing in this family, obviously, the skills are inherited because everybody seems to have good writing skills and a lot of talent.
My youngest brother, Leon, he was a director
of CBS radio programs, Leon Levine.
That's New York
former
Times.
Director. 77 years old when he died in...
New York Times.
Yeah. New York Times obituary. That's a big...
They don't give everybody...
No, that's 1982 New York Times obituary of Leon Levine. No, they don't do everybody, especially that side.
Mm-hmm.
They don't do hardly anyone. Well, I'll tell you what, we've been talking quite a bit. This might be a good time to...
Every time we get on something...
I I think what we need to do, though, I think we're going to need to set up one
I wish you would have just stuck to questions and not go in
to the details.
You took a jump from...
No, but this is good because we were discussing your family, and this shows your family background and how everybody's very
And there's a lot
successful.
I'd like to show you so much written about me, you see. And I had articles written about me.
Well, how about for next time you can highlight some of that? Okay? Because we've already gone through...
I even showed you that last time.
Mm-hmm. Since we've already discussed your family, we can get them out of the way. You can give us some highlights of your career and your life that you would like to share with us. All right.
See, here's stuff I wrote in Yiddish.
Oh, you wrote them for Yiddish paper also?
Yeah.
The foreword?
Dr. Jacob, that's the Rebbe Shulman. He writes me letters. Look how long they are. Who's this? This is only one part. Look how sick
I got. I know.
You are very organized. Very organized.
No, but I can't put it together.
So organized to have it in a folder
that. I'm going to get that guy, friend
of mine.
I'm
kindergarten
get a friend
graduation.
Of mine, David Rothbard. Uh-huh. He used to have a store on Murray Avenue. He's retired. He's going to come in here. He's going to take all this. He's a college graduate. I didn't have no education. This man was buried yesterday, a couple of days ago. And
will he organize it?
No, he's going to. I asked him, and he said he'll see if he can, you know, combine it and make him. A continuous story out of it.
Uh-huh. Great.
Because I have it right from the beginning.
Right.
I have it.
Well, you know what I'd like to do, Mr. Levine? I'd like to see if we can set up one more appointment.
Hey, you can
maybe
make appointments every day. I don't care. I'm not doing
well, this. Well, she's up to you.
Why don't we... is it pop? You know what? Why don't we...
We'll turn it off. Well, it's almost over. It's sort of run out.
I was going to say, what about next Wednesday? What's the
thing? I get a laugh about six. This man writes. He's a writer for papers. And he... I told him I had a lady who was 80 years old.
Uh-huh.
And how madly in love I was with her. Something like that. And he says... What?
He says, keep it down to once a day. Okay. Well, the problem is...
Citizen papers.
Well, it depends. I could do it in the morning, any of those days. Actually, I can do any time in the morning because the afternoon...
The only trouble is that, you know, you can never tell how long they'll last. I'm serious now.
I understand that. She's on a time scheme
here. She's due next week.
Yeah. You know, there's people here today and going tomorrow.
I know.
And I'm past 90, and I'm on board at time like anybody else. I'm no exception, you see. I may be feeling good.
Well, maybe we'll call then tomorrow. You want to do it in the morning?
But you see, what I would like to do is have you go sit down and look this over, because this is the thing that I can't even be called.
I can be really late. Yeah, like at 9. Mm-hmm. Mr. Levine,
Would you take this home and read it? That's my son's writing. I think it's wonderful.
Mr. Levine, can we do it early one, like 9 o'clock next Wednesday morning? Is that too early for you?
Just want to get up here.
Why don't we try the 22nd at 9?
No. I'm up all the time.
All right. If we can do it at 9.
Yeah. You see, to have this going and us engaging in different things, it doesn't, I don't think it comes over on the tape recorder as a cohesive story. you want a story, a cohesive story. But then I have one objection to the whole thing. It's personal. I'm not, you see, I didn't become a community man, an active in the community. I didn't become that, you see. I didn't write a book. I didn't sing a song. I didn't. I mean, I don't know what there is about me that you want to know. It's,
I think people are interested, the researchers are interested in all kinds of people.
I'm leaving it up to you. But I have the material here.
Right.
See? And even the photographs and everything to make a darn good little book.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe for family, for somebody, it doesn't make any difference.
Well,
it's another granddaughter.
We'll go over everything, and then we'll see you next Wednesday.
Yeah, thanks very much.
I just threw my purse on.